So the title of my message is So Great is His Unfailing Love. Turning to that lighting of the love candle of the Advent wreath and looking at how love is expressed in the scriptures, God's unfailing love is a theme it continues to come back to time and again. And so I would like to have us pray a moment, and then we'll turn to the scripture in Isaiah. Dear Lord, thank you that we can be gathered together as your people, listening to your word, and know that throughout the drama of the Christmas story, the angels singing, and the messages being told, your precious Son came to earth, the Messiah of Israel, the promised one from long ago, has come. And this one, our hearts are searching for, and may our hearts truly find him, because in him is the fullness of your very love, is the fullness of your joy. And we pray that we may be drawn into the powerful bond of love that you seek to build with us, your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'll try to click here. There we go. Scripture reading, Isaiah 54, 9 and 10. So this is like the days of Noah. God is speaking to Israel in the time of their having been punished and now talking about the restoration. When I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth, and God promised that, and he repeats that promise every time you see a rainbow. The rainbow is a wonderful affirmation of God's promise here. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again, people Israel. He wants them to be gathered, and he'll bring his own son through them. And he says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. So in thinking about this text, this theme of unfailing love, the question is, why do we want to dwell on this idea of unfailing or steadfast love? It appeals to us in a powerful way. And we need to remember what it is. Here's another text. It's in Lamentations, a text which talks about Israel's punishment for sin. But in the midst of it, they turn to the Lord and they hear, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. One of the greatest texts of the Bible, I think. Why do we want to dwell on the idea of unfailing or steadfast love? Is it because it is so hard to find in a world where people have failed you, either by just turning away, by neglect, or by plain meanness? Or is it because a child is abandoned on a doorstep by a desperate mother? Is it because a 20-year-old marriage can dissolve into a divorce? Is it because two peaceful neighbors suddenly find themselves at deadly war with each other? And I can extrapolate that into two nations, may have previously got along. Is it because a man can treacherously betray his own brother? Is it because of a workplace setting where 19 years of faithful service ends in a pink slip and there is no gratitude for your years of faithful duty to that company? These are all very real ways in which we do not find unfailing love, in which it's betrayed, in which it's perhaps even stomped on in our world. It's the balloon is all the air taken out of it. The concept is a profound one in Scripture because it is the one ingredient God promises to bring into the world that will go beyond any human measure of love. It will produce a community in which love is valued above all other qualities, as Rose was just reading to us here. Love is essential. If it's not found there, something is wrong. 1 Corinthians 13 does not joke around when it says you can be the most radical, on fire Christian, and it uses some Pentecostal language. You could be speaking in the tongues of angels. You could be prophesying with the power of the Spirit. You could be in the midst of a mighty revival, seeming to do much good work for the Lord. But if you do not have any love, then you are a very hollow sound. You are actually not making any progress at all. 1 Corinthians 13 mentions every kind of religious act you can think of, giving generously to the poor, giving your life up as a martyr, being put in flames. But he said, if you're not filled and motivated by love, it all adds up to a big zero. It means nothing. It means nothing. Love is the greatest measure of the Lord Jesus Christ living in our hearts. The Lord has created us in our human nature to receive and give love. If a baby is not bonded with its family, that child is starved of love and is abnormal. If you go to a serial killer, horrible, you know, stories of blackness, usually there is some real serious neglect in their lives. It may not always be the case, but it often is. Your life is marked and shaped by being loved on by family and by community. It helps you become a truly good human being, a thriving person, a person who is full of life and able to tackle the world. As you grow and grow older, you know, you think about your family, it's a natural place for love. One of the greatest new discoveries you may be making when you're, you know, 10 years old, 12 years old, maybe earlier, is that outside of your family, you could find a powerful love in your friend that is beyond your own family, beyond the calls of blood and bonds of family. But most importantly, the Lord works a profound miracle in us when we have our faith and trust in Him, because He begins to establish a fountain of love in the community of faith, and it becomes the main currency of the kingdom of God. It completely depends on the Lord our God, whose motivation is love. So out of His heart flows love, and He can heal the most loveless situation, where love has been driven out. And people who find the Lord and can be completely transformed from lovelessness to love. God does not punish us in anger without love being the very foundation for His judgment. And He always keeps His mercy in full view, so that when the consequences are finished of the judgment, you are met with that unconditional love of God, the love that is unfailing. The Lord expresses it time and again. That's what Isaiah 54 is all about. He remembers Noah when he said the Lord is angry with the earth because it was full of corruption in every kind of form. All corruption in terms of how they related to each other. And he said, I'm starting over with Noah and his family. But he promised that he would not do that again. But instead, the Lord had pledged himself to come himself and set everything straight by being incarnated among us. The baby who became one of us is the Lord of glory. And the angels are singing because He is from heaven and has come to earth. So then here in Isaiah, He says, I am not going to rebuke you again. I've sworn that I will follow through with my own solution, which is Jesus dying on the cross. In Him is established God's unfailing love and a covenant of peace that passes all understanding. No matter what happens on the earth, we return again and again to our obligation to love. The Lord says, even if the mountains melt like ice cream and the hills get sucked into the abyss, the Lord says, my unfailing love will not be shaken. And he asks us to be the same. Our Advent reading reminded us that this wonderful love of God, deeper than anything a human can provide, more profound than any human experience you can have, is undeserved. Totally undeserved, unearned. You are not really worthy of it. Yet it is yours, nevertheless. Because God's grace is amazing. His goodness is unfathomable. His love is unfailing. The unfailing love of God surrounds us. Our first reading reminded us of God's unfailing love, which will not leave us or forsake us, no matter what the world brings. There is no darkness that will not be penetrated by the glorious light of God's truth and his love. Our second reading reminded us that he leads us with his unfailing love. Then our third reading says that Christmas is about the sending of the Son, the baby in the manger, our Messiah, our King, come to us. This arrival of our Lord Jesus is the best expression of God's love and compassion and radical commitment to us, unfailing. Finally, our fourth reading reminded us that the concept of God's love permeates the whole of Scripture. The Father loves the Son. No problem. What father does not love his son normally? But the radical thing is this. If you love Jesus, then the Father loves you. If you discover that Jesus is the most precious thing you could have ever discovered, and you give your life to him, you become also the apple of God's eye. God's ferocious, undeniable love grips hold of you and is yours by right, and it is yours forever because it is steadfast, unfailing. Even if the earth disappears, the steadfast love of the Lord remains. And we find it most easily in our Lord Jesus Christ. Joy to the world. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we bring our hearts to you. We are profoundly moved by your unfailing love. We are thanking you so much for the expressions of joy and praise and thanks brought to you by the various voices and sounds of music this morning. We thank you that we could be gathered here in this place and freely and wonderfully express our love for you. And may we always find room in our heart for the baby Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.